is a blessing. Amen.
Yeah. Amen.
In church growth. And we're talking about sermon preparation, but I think he made the point everything needs some preparation. Amen. Amen. I want to talk this morning from the subject, seven reasons for sermon preparation. Seven reasons for sermon preparation. And our president gave me the assignment of reasons, several, there are three assignments, but one of them was reasons for sermon preparation. And so we want to see, can we deal with some of that? I don't know that I'll finish this today. He'll have to give me some more instructions on what he want me to do after this. Amen. But sermon preparation is indicative of three things. Reverence for God. Four things. Reverence for God. Secondly, love for truth. Thirdly, concern for the redemption of sinners. And fourthly, the well-being of the people of God. I say well-being because the reformers distinguish between being, salvation, and well-being, sanctification. Well-being of the saints. The opposite is true as well, and that is frivolity in one's approach to preaching is irreverent. Is my mouth is dry today. it's irreverent. And less than a spiritual act of worship. Did you hear me? Say, when we fail to approach preaching with reverence, then we have in pulpits, preachers performing less than a spiritual act of worship. Serious preparation makes for sound and solemn presentation. Now notice I said sound because we tend to want to focus on preparation as it pertains to our studies in the Word. But solemn carries with it the idea that we recognize that we're dealing with and we're in the presence of a holy God. That's bigger. That precedes even though study of the Word. We're in His presence. We're in His presence. John Huss, as he prepared, heard that he was going to be burnt at the stake. And it said that what he did was he would put his hand over fire and he would allow the fire to burn him, and he would keep it as long as he could stand it, and he would allow the fire to burn him because he wanted to prepare to be burned at the stake and not disappoint God. How willing are we to prepare? Not so that we can look good for people, but so that we will not disappoint God. One preacher put it in his book on preaching. He said a lack of conviction. And a whole lot of prayer. We're talking about before God. That's what we're talking about. Conviction. A lack of conviction will show up in your public teaching, blunting its impact. And instead of proclaiming and warning and inviting, you will be sharing and musing and conjecturing. A whole lot of that going on today. We owe to our God and to this solemn trust of the preachment, and to our brothers and sisters we are privileged to address, we owe our best effort every single time we mount the pulpit. Every single time we mount the pulpit. Our best effort. Our best effort. That don't mean we get it perfect all the time. But one thing I found out, if you do your best, God will do Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Yeah, yeah. Where you fall short, God will extend it. We owe our best effort. I want to share with you seven reasons, many of those that I can today, why proper preparation is critical. Critical to preaching. Proper preparation is critical to preach. First one I want to share with you is intention. Intention. Somebody said it rightly, said if you fail to plan, you plan to fail. That's what Moderator Jefferson was saying about church growth. If you fail to plan, you plan to fail. Abraham in Genesis 22 rose up early in the morning. Didn't he do it? Because God told him, I have something for you to do. I want you to take your son to the mountain and I want you to sacrifice him. And he rose up early in the morning, Abraham did, without delay. He did all that he was able to do in preparation. He got the fire.
Yes, sir.
He got the wood.
Yes, sir.
He got the boy.
Yes,
and he went forth. And listen, he went forth. Boy, say, I see the fire. I see the wood. But what we gonna burn? But Abraham had an expectation for God to meet him. See, that's what preparation do. When you know you've done your best, when you know you've done all that you can do, oh, you can expect God. You can expect God to meet you at the pulpit. Have somebody. I have a serious question. Serious question. If you are not relying on prayer and preparation, and prayer is a part of preparation, but if you're not relying on prayer and preparation, then what are you relying on? Well, what are you relying on? See the priest. The priest didn't work land because they didn't have any land to work. They didn't have any land to work. They were privileged to serve the temple. They were given to, guess what? Constant preparation. Constant preparation. They were given to constant washing and constant dressing things and constantly tending to the articles of the temple. And all of these things are pictures of constantly being in the Word of God. Oh, you catch it in the New Testament when the apostles say, should we leave this business of the Word of God to go wait on table? They were given to constant preparation in the Word of God. Why? Because this is the job God has given you. This is what he's given you. This is what he's given you. He hadn't made, I know you like fishing, but he didn't call you. He didn't call you to fish. I know you like golfing, but he didn't call you to golfing. Listen, if you just want to be an entertainer, you just want to jump and holler and hold yourself and all that kind of stuff, go be a comedian. Go be a clown. Go be some kind of performer. But if God has called you to be a worker of the word. Get some training.
Thank you, sir. We'll knock you down enough.
God bless you.
Dr. Simon, you get up and next week and you just say this all over again. God is good and his spirit is good. Now we have two pastoral releases.